back and they score! And Giroux's got it! He's a push it by Antti Niemi!
It's time for the 5-Minute Major Podcast.
What is the significance of that name?
Tiger score!
Now here's your hosts, Matt Mastrogiovanni and Dave Morris.
That's what the people came to see.
A 5-Minute Major Podcast. What took you so long to finally seal the deal, my man? Let's go.
Hey guys, how's it going? Welcome to another episode of 5-Minute Major. Dave here, reunited with my broadcast partner in crime after he spent some time down in the Big Easy in New Orleans covering the Final Four. Matt Mastrogiovanni. Matt, how's it goes this evening? I had to give you the plug there.
Yeah, it's going well. I was on a business trip, as I was calling it, some game management work for the Final Four, the national championship game down in New Orleans. Not a big deal. It was just really cool meeting a lot of good people, getting some good connections. And I'm not really a big college basketball guy, but I mean, those games were ones for the ages, if that makes sense. But it is good to be back and just kind of keep doing my thing. And we roll on here with the podcast, obviously. I know you did a solo episode last week, so
yes,
appreciate you taking one for the team. But I'm back, and we got – I don't know if we have a lot to talk about, but, I mean, we can just kind of riff tonight, I feel like, where we're winding down the Flyers season, thank God, at this point.
Yes.
Because it's like they're officially, obviously, eliminated from the playoffs. And then it's just kind of like a matter of time before they're done for the year, which is bittersweet. But it's also, again, we're being put out of our misery to some degree with how bad they've been and how bad the season has gone. But we can touch on the past couple games. They are playing right now as we speak. I'm good to be back. And like I said, we'll just kind of riff off each other tonight as we usually do.
Yeah, definitely. And last week's episode was only like 15 minutes long because it's just me. Like, there wasn't a whole lot to talk about. Like, you're not really I didn't really watch the games that we discussed, that I briefly discussed in last week's pod, except for I think the Minnesota game. And it's like I go through the signings of Cates and Ronnie Attard and look up at my clock. I'm like, all right, and the podcast's done. And it's 15 minutes. Brenna's like, is that it? And I was like, well, it's just me tonight. Who wants to listen to my voice ramble on for 45 minutes? Absolutely no one. But it's always good to have you back in the fold, your brother. But yeah, there are some games that you have to talk about. There was some controversy with one of them, of course, last Saturday's game against the Toronto Maple Leafs. But things have not been good in Flyerland. I mean, we've been saying that every week. We've recorded a podcast this season. But yes, they did lose 6-3 last Saturday on April 2nd to the Toronto Maple Leafs. They did win a game, however, though. A game in which they blew a 3-1, I believe a 3-0 or 3-1 lead.
Yeah.
But they did beat the New York Rangers in a 4-3 shootout. And then on Sunday evening, on the 3rd. And then, of course, they lost on Tuesday night to the Columbus Blue Jackets 4-2. And they are currently losing to the Blue Jackets 1-0 right now as we record Thursday evening, the 7th of April. So, with that, we're going to get right to the hot button topic, which everyone on Flyers Twitter has talked about in the past week. And really everyone in the hockey community has really brought about the Flyers healthy scratched Keith Yandle in last Saturday's game against the Toronto Maple Leafs, thus ending his Ironman streak. And he was 11 or so games away from playing 1,000 straight NHL games. This definitely was a hot button topic, and for once, Mastro and I disagreed on something, which yeah. Hell froze there for a second. But I see both sides of the argument, but strictly, Matt, looking from a hockey sense point of view and going, does he deserve to be in the lineup because he's playing at an NHL caliber level? The answer is no. And that's how I looked at it on Saturday. And in my mind, Phil Kessel's going to pass him for this record anyway. He hadn't been playing up to the skill level to be in the lineup. and he should have been scratched weeks ago after he got the record anyway. But yeah, here we are. It finally took them like a month to get here, and they finally did it. And of course, all hell breaks loose, and you have all the big hockey pundit media, you know, flipping their lids. You've got Jeremy Roenick and the guys in Chicklets and a couple other people calling them out. But then you've also got players on the other side of the aisle too, like Mike Rupp saying, hey, listen, he'd be playing in the lineup if he was deserving of it. And he quite frankly hasn't been. I know it was very polarizing in the locker room. Kevin Hayes had a whole big statement on it. Shocking news there. They're best friends. But at the end of the day, for Keith Yandel, the person, I mean, he did the right thing. Like, you know, Keith Yandel is not a guy who's going to make waves and, you know, get pissed off publicly in the market. I'm sure he had some words with Mike Yeo one-on-one, but I feel as though Keith Yandel handled it well. But the way I view it at the end of the day, his play wasn't to the level where it needed to be. And unfortunately, you get healthy scratched. If he was a rookie playing, you know, it wouldn't matter. But then on the other side, I do see it. He was getting close to 1,000. Like, he's already played 1,000 games in the league, but playing 1,000 straight would be really cool. But at the same time, like, how really, like, deserving are you of this record? Because let's be frank here. He was only probably not getting scratched earlier in the year because the Flyers wanted him to get the record. And you've got the Arizona Coyotes pulling stunts where they literally give Phil Kessel one 10-second shift, and that counts him as a game played, and then he leaves the ice to go, you know, see his child be born. But that counts as a game played. Like, it. To what extent are we taking it, and do people really deserve a right to be angry? I personally think no, because I'm looking at a fan. I see it from both sides now. Last Saturday, Matt, I was very like, this is dumb. Why are we even mad about this? He doesn't deserve to be in the lineup. It's about time he got healthy scratched. But after taking a second to be with my thoughts here, I get why there is a certain sect of the fan base and certain people in the hockey media that are like the WTF Flyers. But to bring up like Jeremy Roenick's point, saying, oh, this is going to affect free agent signing with the team, blah, 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 blah. Mike Yeo's not going to be the head coach next season. This was apparently a Mike Yeo decision. So who cares? You know? But yeah. with that, Matt, I will get off my pedestal and I will hand you the talking stick.
Yeah, I think you're completely right in the fact that you can see it from both sides, and that's what I was about to say. But you took the words right out of my mouth. I think it's tricky because, again, we definitely know that Kessel is going to pass Yandel at some point. And again, Yandel was brought in to be a power play specialist. I'm sure he's a great locker room guy, but holy hell, he's been awful on the ice this year. I saw a TikTok from Bar Down, that outlet. I think it's a sublet of TSN.
Yes.
But it being the Masters week, the guy Jesse Pollock was doing a TikTok about the who would get the green jacket in the NHL for the worst plus minus. As we know, in golf, the lowest score wins. And Keith Yandel is the leader in that category at, I believe, minus 41.
Ooh, nice.
And just behind him, tied for third, is JVR at minus 39, I believe. So Yandel might get the green jacket in the worst way possible. So there's a nice Masters reference for you. But yeah, I mean, I agree where he's 11 games out. He's 11 games from 1,000. And
well, he was at the time.
Yeah. And I mean, I see both sides where it is. It's good to see these kids from the Phantoms and the Flyers system get NHL games under their belt, just in case they somehow become mainstays down the road here. And again, you're right, where Mike Yeo, I would hope, is not going to be the coach next year.
He better not be.
Yeah. But I don't know. I think, again, like Yandel, where it's like, yeah, his hockey has been horrible, but almost as like a respect factor, you just kind of let him finish out, like at least put him as like the seventh D-man, give him like one shift a game maybe. I don't know.
Run...
What do you have to lose at this point? Yeah, and like it kind of sucks too because he missed one game and then what? Sealer got injured and he was right back in. So it was like you couldn't have just given him that game just to keep it going. And again, like I said, Phil Kessel's most likely going to beat that streak. Well, he will at this point.
Unless something happens to him.
Yeah. We're not going to wish injury upon anyone.
No. Of course not.
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, you could have done something more than healthy scratch the guy. Like, with all that he's done and however, like, you did all that pomp and circumstance with the Ironman record when he did break it. And then it's like, I don't want to call it a stab in the back, but it's just like a, it kind of is where you make such a big deal out of that. And then, like, I don't know. I mean, it just plain sucks for Yandel as a person and as a player. But as a coach, obviously, Yo has to make tough decisions like that. The organization has to make tough decisions like that. And like Ronnie Attard, I believe, did he get a point? I've been so out of the loop with the Flyers.
Yeah,
where
I think he actually got his first career point Tuesday night.
Yeah.
He got his first career point, and Noah Cates scored his first career goal in the same game.
Yeah.
And they're the two big NCAA prospect signings.
And we have Bobby Brink on Denver, who is a Hobie Baker finalist, and they just won in overtime against Michigan to go to the national championship game in the Frozen Four.
But we'll get to that out later.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, as bad as things are now, it is, again, it's always good to see the future come, not to fruition, because it's way too early to say that, but just to see what these guys can possibly do with the shot that they're given at the NHL level. But yeah, I just think it kind of, it sucks for Yandel, and he just kind of has to, I mean, he has to live with it at this point. And at this, like I've said before with the Flyers in general, we'll just see what happens. He most likely won't even be on the team next year. He might retire after this year.
Yeah, I was going to say, he might not even be in the league next year. Yeah. He's been that bad.
Just a guy who has had kind of just a complete fall from grace skill-wise where, I mean, he obviously is older and he declined in Florida, got bought out, and then he signed for pretty cheap with the Flyers before this season. But I don't think any team wants him on the ice at this point. No offense to him as a person, but as a player, I mean, you don't see it get much worse than that.
Yeah, it's crazy to think 2 or 3 years ago, he had 50-plus points for the Florida Panthers and was an all-star. And now he's the worst defenseman in the league.
Yeah.
I mean, his defense, Heath Yandel was never known for his defensive end play anyway. He was always an offensive puck-moving defenseman. That's what his skill and strengths were. But man, that cliff came and he fell hard.
Yeah. But again, I mean, that's just kind of been the recurring theme for the Flyers, where another crazy thing that happened, yesterday, 2 days ago, they had team picture day at the Wells Fargo Center. And the hashtag where is Ryan Ellis continues, where he wasn't even in the team picture because he had to get some procedures with his injury that we still don't even know what it is. Like,
yeah,
I was about to tweet that he's out there hiding with Bigfoot.
At this point, he might be. He might as well be.
So
where's Waldo? Again, where's Ryan Ellis? Same thing.
I would say the Flyers are like a car accident where you can't help but look at it, but I don't even want to look anymore at this point.
No, yeah.
Like, I kind of forgot that they were on tonight. And again, as I was saying before we started recording, there's a plethora of other sports that are happening right now. Actually, breaking news, Owen Tippett just scored, so it's 1-1.
It's the second goal as a Flyer.
Kevin Connaughton also scored, fun fact. He scored the first goal for the Flyers.
Are they winning now?
Unassisted. Yeah, it's 2-1 Flyers.
See, I'm on the schedule site. I'm on the for NHL.com. That doesn't update. And now, since I have my iPhone and Do Not Disturb, I'm not getting notifications like they're being hidden.
Gotcha. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, again, it's just weird at this point because, again, that you have the whole no Giroux thing. You have just...
Which he scored his first goal as a Panther the other night.
Yeah. But
it was a nifty give and go with Huberdeau.
Yeah. The Flyers fan base, I think, needs a break at this point, where we're just going to kind of cruise through the rest of the season. They are the one bright spot, I guess, for the probably the rest of the season. The Flyers are honoring Lou Nolan on Saturday night against the Ducks. He'll be I mean, he's been an employee from the inaugural season. Obviously, he's been the PA announcer this whole time.
I think it's, yeah, it's his 50th season as PA announcer.
Yeah. So that'll be good. But other than that, it's just kind of running out the clock time for the Flyers. And once again, we see what the offseason brings us. And then we run it back next year and see what's in store.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, again, the Flyers are becoming the team in the rear view with the Phillies having their opening day tomorrow, opening weekend this weekend. The Sixers with their last couple of games, I believe. I don't know if they're home games or regular season games, but they'll be in the mix in the playoffs, hopefully make a nice run here. The Eagles made a trade the other day for some picks with the Saints. So I think it's time to put the Flyers to rest at this point. I love this team. I will always love this team. But, I mean, these past couple years have just been so brutal where it's like you don't even want to pay them any attention at this point. As much as you want to, I mean, I'll probably watch the last game of the season just like as like a adios for this year. Like, glad it's over. But, I mean, again, the season was lost since Thanksgiving. Like. Yeah. So it's, again, it's, everything's just a formality at this point, as they say.
You pay attention just enough so you don't sound like a bumbling idiot on the podcast, and, you're active on the social medias, and you're going, okay, now how else can I fill up my free time that I'm not completely miserable? And that helped with the MLB The Show 22 dropping last week. And of course with the Phillies saying, ha, we're here. And, I don't know about you, Matt, but I really need the Phillies to be good this season. I just need some. I'm not a Sixers guy. I'll be happy for the rest of the city and their fans if they win, but I'm not a Sixers or basketball guy. I'm just not. I'm Flyers, Phillies, Eagles. So, like, I am in desperate need. I'm in desperate need of this absolutely loaded Phillies offense to hit it off and for them to end their decade-long playoff drought. Yeah. But just this Flyers season cannot come to an end quickly enough here. Like you did say, they are up right now, currently winning 2-1 over the Columbus Blue Jackets as we record at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Thursday, April 7th. With only a couple more weeks of the season, their last game is April 29th, a Friday night at home against the Ottawa Senators. So you got the Ducks Saturday night and then a couple of days off before they play the Capitals on Tuesday evening, the 12th, and then the Rangers on Wednesday evening, the 13th. So those are your next three games, and I don't know what's going to happen.
I would say we pour one out for this season, but I don't think they deserve to have one poured out for them after this piss-poor performance of a year.
Yeah,
that's that's disrespectful to the beer.
Exactly. Like, calling the Flyers hot garbage is offensive to hot garbage.
Yeah.
I don't know how they're going to do their next couple of games. At this point, Matt, it's like, let's watch and see what happens. You know, or let me pay attention to my phone and check the updates because I'd rather be doing anything else than actually watch this hockey team.
Yeah.
So, the plus sides, Owen Tippett's looked good since coming here with the Flyers. I mean, he's looked better than any of the highlights I saw with him with the Panthers. So that's a plus. I mean, if you found a player there in Owen Tippett, he's your big return for the Giroux trade. Cool. Very nice. Really liked Noah Cates getting his first career goal the other night against Columbus on Tuesday. He's a player I'm excited about who I brought up on last week's solo podcast where I think he can really be he's not going to be like a first line scoring elite star, but he could be a nice middle six forward. A good two-way second or third line center at times, power play, penalty kill, etc. And Ronny Ettard, you know, he's a big right-handed shooting mobile defenseman who gets points, and he got better every year in the USHL and at the end and with Western Michigan in the NCAA. So I'm excited about him. I gave my thoughts on those two big prospect signings last week, but Mastro, do you have any thoughts on the Ronny Ettard and Noah Cates signings?
Actually, so I have more breaking news. Noah Cates scored his second goal of his career, and it is now 3-1 Flyers.
Oh, hey-o.
So far, so good, I guess, for both of them. again, I don't know if they're guys that are going to be mainstays here. We've seen this before with other teams when they're atrocious near the end of the year. You bring up all the young talent just to have them get some games under their belt in the NHL in case they do end up being mainstays. But yeah, it's a time will tell situation at this point where, again, the season just has to run its course in the final stages here in the next few games. And we'll see. We've said this before, but we will see what this organization is really made of. It's just crazy where, like, again, we can speculate about anything and everything, but we don't even know, like, obviously no one knows what's going to happen. And it just got, again, the reality of the new Flyers, the new age Flyers is here with Giroux in Florida. And just there's, I mean, again, we said it, what, a couple weeks ago since you were solo last week, but someone's got to step up and be the guy.
Yeah.
Or they need to get that guy somehow in a trade or in a free agent signing. But again, it's all formality at this point. It's good to see guys like Kevin Hayes back. And just, again, he's getting his sea legs back.
He's just playing well.
Just in time for the offseason. But you hope to the hockey gods that this team comes back fully healthy next year. Mm-hmm. And it's at least a step up from this year. I'm not expecting the Flyers to be a contender anytime soon, but.
Well, I think Comcast is.
Yeah. I mean, good luck with that, with the salary cap and all this. But anything better, I won't even say a playoff berth. I mean, yeah, if they made the playoffs, it'd be awesome, but that's probably a stretch for them at this point.
Got to perform once you get there, too.
Yeah. So it's one of those things where we've said this before and we'll say it again, but it's just a wait and see with the Flyers at this point to see what they do personnel wise, whether it's coaches, players, front office staff, any of that. I mean, I don't think. I guess, yeah, I mean, the untouchables for me at this point would be Carter Hart, Joel Farabee. Maybe that's it.
I personally would throw Ivan Provorov in that list.
He's been a little better as of late, but it's just crazy how, like, without a guy like Matt Niskanen or Ryan Ellis on a pairing with him, he forgets how to play hockey. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I don't know what it is, but I'm not ready to give up on him. Sanheim's been playing better as of late too. Like,
yeah,
he's been really good.
Yeah, and I think this organization as a whole has just been in a funk the past 3 years now, and it's unlike anything we've ever seen before. Hopefully, as they say, the night is darkest before the dawn. Hopefully, we've already seen the darkest parts of this stage, but we don't know, which is the worst part. So we could, I don't know. I hope it doesn't get any worse. But we said that last year.
Yeah, we did.
That's really all I have to say. We'll see what happens with this game. They're up by 2 goals. Columbus, I think, is not in the playoff race right now. So they are, they're 20, just under 20 points out of the wild card. So
they're 16 points behind the Washington Capitals for the second wild card.
Yeah, I was thinking
the East is pretty much set. It's really at this point it's who's gonna make what and finish in what proper seating slot. Like the Islanders aren't making the playoffs. Columbus isn't making the playoffs. And they're the next two closest. So it really doesn't look like the playoff teams out east are going to be Carolina, the Rangers, and Pittsburgh, Florida, Toronto, Boston, and then Tampa, Washington. It's just who fits where when the seeding comes down to it at the end of the season.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, it'll be nice. Again, we'll be talking playoffs here in the next couple weeks. And, I mean, Florida already clinched, Colorado clinched, so I think the playoff picture as a whole in the league is pretty much set at this point. You could get that gif of the two trash cans racing each other, and that's kind of like the Flyers and the Blue Jackets playing tonight. But, I mean, hell, the Blue Jackets have had a lot better of a season than the Flyers.
The Blue Jackets, they're...
Ten more wins than us.
Yeah, they're 33, 32, and 6.
A nice... the Flyers legit have a nice goal differential at minus 69.
Yes, they do.
But, yikes. But, yeah, I mean, I think we can kind of end the Flyers coverage there and just kind of go to other... not even around the league, because we have some college hockey to talk about. And then we can... I guess we have a couple things to touch on with around the league, and then we can kind of just end it from there.
Sounds like a plan.
But I guess we can go to college. And we are in the midst of the Frozen Four, which is like the March Madness for hockey, but there aren't 64 teams. The first game of the semifinal just ended a few minutes ago in dramatic fashion, with number one Denver knocking off another number one in Michigan, 3-2.
Love to see it.
I believe Michigan was supposed to go all the way, but they are going home now, back to Ann Arbor.
Suck on it, Michigan. I hate Michigan.
Yeah, and Denver will await the winner of Minnesota versus Minnesota State, which is the next game up, I believe, in about a half hour. And the national championship game is Saturday night at 8 o'clock on ESPN, I believe. So some good hockey there. Flyers prospect, again, like we mentioned briefly before, Bobby Brink is on Denver, one of the three finalists for the Hobey Baker, which is like the Heisman for
and he should win the Hobey
college
Baker.
Hockey. Yeah, so
he led the NCAA in scoring.
He did have an assist on the game winner tonight, so hopefully that helps his case. But yeah, well, any thoughts on that, Dave, before we move on?
I'll be rooting for Denver. I'm glad Michigan lost. Suck on it, Michigan. But I'll be rooting for Denver to win it all, and then hopefully after they do win it all, Bobby Brink turns pro and signs with the Flyers. And hopefully we can see Bobby Brink in some orange and black before the season's over.
Definitely. Let's see. Speaking of, I guess we can speak of eliminations once again. But the Buffalo Sabres were eliminated from the playoffs for an NHL record 11th straight season. They were eliminated on Wednesday night. When they lost to, the Washington Capitals, they beat the Tampa Bay Lightning, which officially eliminated the Buffalo Sabres from contention in the playoffs. They have not qualified for the postseason since 2011, in which they lost in 7 games to the Flyers in the Eastern Conference quarterfinals.
That was a crazy series.
Yeah. I think I was in California for watching some of that game or some of that series.
I missed game 7 of that series because Coheed and Cambria was playing. For those who don't know, Coheed's my favorite band, obviously, Matt, as you already know, but the Coheed was playing a 10th anniversary show at the then called Electric Factory for their very first record. So I had to get updates on my good old smartphone that evening.
Hey, you gotta do what you gotta do. But I mean, Buffalo, just this season alone, obviously they had the whole Jack Eichel saga. They used 6 different goaltenders because of injury. And they also had, just from NHL.com, they had long losing skids when they started the season 3-0 and 5-1-1, but followed up with a 5-18-5 stretch that all but sealed their fate. They lost at least 5 straight games 4 times this season, including 3 of at least 6, and the inability to string victories together was an issue, in which they won 3 straight games just once more from March 18th to the 23rd. They have a nice crop of potential UFAs, as well as a potential 10 draft picks in the 2022 draft, which will come up this summer. But the Sabres are one of those teams where they could go either way, where there's a little bit of optimism, but also there really isn't too much optimism.
Well, I mean, they do have the big question with the Sabres now is, does Owen Power, who got eliminated with Michigan, does he turn pro and sign with the team? Or does he go back to Michigan for another year next year to try and win a national championship? Because they've got their top goalie prospect, Devin Levi, who's Canada's goalie for the World Juniors the past couple of years. He decided he's staying at Northwestern for one more year, or Northeastern one more year to try and win a national championship there before he turns pro. So they've got a bright future, Buffalo. I really do. I think they're going to get out of that. I think if they make the right moves this offseason, and if a lot of their players continue to take the steps they've taken this season, they might end that playoff. And if they can find a good goalie that's healthy and not old, they might break that playoff drought next year. You never know what can happen. Hockey's a crazy sport.
True. Another elimination, we have the Chicago Blackhawks. They were eliminated. They've missed the playoffs 4 times now in the last 5 seasons. This is their second consecutive season that they were eliminated. They qualified for playoffs 9 straight seasons, winning the Stanley Cup, as we know, in 2010, 2013, and 2015. But they've only made the playoffs once in the past 5 seasons. They had a bad start and were playing catch up as soon as the season began, going 1-9-2 in their first 12 games. Their coach, Jeremy Colleton, was fired on November 5th and replaced by Derek King, who had been coach of Rockford, which is the AHL affiliate of Chicago. They relied too much on goaltending, according to NHL.com, put too much of an onus on goaltender Marc-Andre Fleury before he was obviously traded to Minnesota on the trade deadline. He started 45 of their 63 games, facing over 28 shots per game, going 19-21-5 with a 2.95 goals against average and a .908 save percentage with 4 shutouts. Also, their second periods were also bad. They struggled a lot in second periods this season, scoring 56 goals, which were 30th in the NHL, and allowed 81 goals, which were tied for 25th. Also, we're marred by the Kyle Beach situation. Mm-hmm. Just a tough season all around for Blackhawks. But, hey, I think they deserve it.
Yeah, and I was so wrong about them. I believe in our season preview episode that we did with Hoagie, I thought they were going to finish second in the Central Division because I was like, oh, Fleury's going to come there and solidify their goaltending. They got Seth Jones. They've got Taves. They've got Kane, Kirby Dach. Like, they've got all these great young players. And no, I was so, so, so wrong. I almost kind of want to go back and listen to our season preview episode, maybe towards the end of the year, like when the playoffs are set, and see if we were close to getting anything right.
I don't know.
It might be too brutal.
We were definitely wrong as hell about the Flyers.
Yeah, we were. I think a lot of people were, though.
That's true. But we actually are going to stay in Chicago here with one more topic of discussion. Marian Hossa is back in the mix for one day. He signed a one-day contract with the Blackhawks. Actually, earlier tonight, I guess, because he is retiring after the Blackhawks play against the Kraken tonight at the United Center. A progressive skin disorder ended the former forward's hockey career after the 2016-17 season. He won the Stanley Cup 3 times and was inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame back in November. Hossa was quoted saying, "The Blackhawks and City of Chicago hold a special place in my heart. Making the commitment to this organization in 2009 was the best decision I ever made." The 43-year-old had 1,134 points in 1,309 games for the Ottawa Senators, Atlanta Thrashers, Pittsburgh Penguins, Detroit Red Wings, and finally the Blackhawks, including 415 points in 500 regular season games for Chicago. He scored at least 30 goals in the season 8 times and at least 43 times. He played the final 8 of his 9 NHL seasons for the Blackhawks after signing a 12-year contract on July 1st of 2009 and also entered the Hockey Hall of Fame as part of the class of 2020 along with Jerome Iginla, Kevin Lowe, Doug Wilson, and Kim St. Pierre. His legacy night, initially scheduled for back on November 9th, was postponed and is yet to be rescheduled. this was all after the fallout of the Kyle Beach allegations, so I guess they didn't really want to celebrate anything at that point because everyone hated them, and they still kind of do. So, but Hossa, a great player, obviously a Hall of Famer. We wish him the best in retirement and going forward. Dave, your thoughts?
I mean, I was always a big Marian Hossa fan. Great offensively, even better defensively. Like, he could have won the Selke a couple years in a row there as a winger. Always a player. He kind of bumped around till he won. You know, he went from, you know, he kind of did the bump around thing. He was really good with Ottawa and Atlanta. Then he goes to Pittsburgh to try and win a cup, loses to Detroit. Then he goes to Detroit to try and win a cup, loses to Pittsburgh. And then he finally goes to Chicago. And, well, we know what he did there then. Obviously, yeah. That's kind of where he played out the rest of his career. Hockey Hall of Famer, without a doubt in my mind. And nice that he kind of retires at the place where he's going to be most remembered for playing.
Very well said. But we will move on to Anaheim, where we have another retirement coming up. For a mainstay on the Anaheim Ducks, Ryan Getzlaf announced, was it yesterday?
Yes, I believe yesterday.
That he will be calling it a career at the end of this season on Tuesday. He announced his retirement from the Anaheim Ducks, and he thanked everyone you would expect, family, friends, owners, executives, coaches, teammates, trainers, and even the arena workers.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
Exactly. After 17 seasons in Anaheim, the past 12 as captain of the Ducks, the 36-year-old center knows everyone's face at Honda Center, even if he doesn't know everyone's name. He was quoted saying, "Being in one place your whole career gives you the ability to create friendships. That's the beauty of this." He achieved a rarity in professional sports, not only playing his entire NHL career with the same team, but winning a championship, setting records, and leaving a legacy. He means so much to Anaheim, and Anaheim means so much to him. All this from Nick Kotsanika from NHL.com. The Ducks won the Stanley Cup in 07 at the end of Getzlaf's second NHL season, and he led them with 17 points in 21 games that year. He went on to become Anaheim's leader in games played, assists, points, as well as games played, goals, assists, and points in the playoffs. Though he never won a major award, he did come close. In the 2013-14 season, he was runner-up to Penguins center Sidney Crosby for the Hart Trophy, which is obviously the league MVP. He was also quoted saying, "I've been able to live out that dream of being a hockey player and winning a Stanley Cup here in Anaheim." And he didn't want to go anywhere else besides Anaheim, even though he did have a chance. Their last game, let's see, I'm trying to find when their last game is. He will sit out the Ducks' last two games on the road so he can play his last NHL game at home against the St. Louis Blues on the 24th of this month. I think it's – hopefully the Ducks do something good, like they do like a giveaway or something, because I follow them on Twitter, and that April 24th night is like everyone in the crowd gets a free lottery scratch-off ticket. Like, this is like your – franchise player's final game. Like, you gotta do something. Obviously
they're gonna do
like
something,
ceremony and stuff like that, but it was just funny where it was like, come see the captain's final NHL game and get a scratch-off ticket. Like, come on. Like, so I'm sure they'll do something,
yeah,
probably even like more special than obviously Giroux's 1,000th game with the Flyers, but similar to that, like, but on a very much more grandiose level, I would say, because it's the last game of his career.
Oh yeah, and he without a doubt, Getzlaf's the first ballot Hall of Famer. Besides winning a Stanley Cup, you know, he's won Olympic gold a couple times, world championships. Like, he's done it all. His number will be retired. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised at all if his numbers retire with the Ducks next season. Like, they just get it done right away. Like, they're not gonna wait. He's Mr. Anaheim Duck. You put him up with the same likes of, you know, J.S. Chiguer and Paul Kariya and Timo Solani. And then whenever Corey Perry retires, you'll put Corey Perry up there, and Chris Pronger and Scott Niedermeyer, good old Norm. I mean, he was a hell of a player and a player I always liked, enjoyed watching. Like, I never held any animosity towards the Ducks ever, being a Western Conference team. And they were always fun to watch back in their heyday. And who who can you blame him for not wanting to leave Southern California? You know, he got to play a child's game, a professional sport in ice hockey in Southern California for his entire career. Like, don't know about you, but if I was in that situation, I wouldn't want to ever leave there either.
Yeah. So congrats on a great career.
Yes.
Preemptive congratulations. There we go. Yes. This is not over yet. Ryan Getzlaff on a great career. We'll definitely, the league will be a lesser place without him. Yeah, I said that right. I didn't want to mean it the opposite way, where the league is going to be better without Ryan Getzlaff. Don't mean it like that. The league will be a lesser place without him. But obviously the Ducks, they have the young talent. Obviously Trevor Zegras is unreal. Sonny Milano, Troy Terry. I mean, they have these guys that are young up-and-comers where soon enough, I mean, the Ducks could be in the mix for a Stanley Cup once again.
Yeah, and they got John Gibson too in net. Yep. So
I think they'll be okay without him, as much as they'll miss a key piece of their lineup for the last 17 years. They'll be okay going forward. But we're actually going to stay in SoCal for our last topic of the night. We'll go to San Jose for this one, as it was announced earlier today that Doug Wilson stepped down as GM of the San Jose Sharks, citing a need to focus on his health. The 64-year-old, who had been on medical leave since November 26th, had been GM since May 13th of 2003. He was quoted saying, "I want to thank everyone who has reached out during my leave of absence. While I have made great progress over the last several months, I feel it is in the best interest of the organization and myself to step down from my current duties and focus on my health and full recovery. I look forward to continuing my career in the NHL in the future." Sharks owner Hasso Plattner said assistant GM Joe Will, who served as GM during Wilson's medical leave, will continue in the role while the team conducts a search amongst external candidates. The search committee will include Plattner, Will, and Sharks president Jonathan Betcher, I believe is how to pronounce his name. Plattner was quoted saying, "I want to personally thank Doug for his 19 seasons as GM of the Sharks. Him and his staff produced remarkable results over a span that very few NHL teams can match, highlighted by our 2016 Stanley Cup run. He's been an integral part of this franchise since the team's inception back in 1991, and his impact on and off the ice will continue to be felt long into the future." Let's see. Just a bunch of quotes and stuff from there. The Sharks do intend to interview candidates such as former NHL GMs, assistant GMs, player agents, league personnel, and those working in international hockey. However, Will said San Jose intends to continue the plan Wilson started. So it seems to be status quo for now for the Sharks for the rest of this season. And then once this season ends, obviously, as the article stated, they will get to searching for a new general manager.
Yeah, I mean, I wish the best of health and happy, I guess, retirement maybe to Doug Wilson there. You never want to see someone leave the game due to health reasons, but you got to do what you got to do at the end of the day, right?
True.
The Sharks were good until they weren't good. And they were so good for so many years, you thought they were going to get over that hump and win that Stanley Cup, and they could never just do it. Great in the regular season, and then come to the playoffs, they would flounder. No pun intended there.
Oh, God.
Thank you. I'm here all week. But no, they had some great players, you know, Jumbo Joe Thornton, Patrick Marleau, Brent Burns, Eric Karlsson, Joe Pavelski, Danny Heatley, 1507. It's just like they were a great organization, and Doug Wilson helped definitely build them up to some place where they, you know, they probably, if they were any other team, maybe they would have won a championship, but they just could never find a way to get down in the playoffs. And it sucks, but he'll you know, leave on a winning legacy. Just not when it mattered the most.
Yeah. Other than that, I mean, the teams are obviously starting to clinch playoff spots. We'll be talking about the playoff bracket here in no time, with the regular season winding down. But Dave, if you're prepared, we'll get back to our regular segment that we started a few weeks back with our random player of the week. I don't know if you have any. Do you have anyone prepared?
I can real quick if you give me like 2 seconds.
All right. I will try and find someone quick here too. I had someone in mind the other day, Oh, hold on. Let me try and find it. All right. If I can spell his name right. Here we go. So, I don't think either of us have said this guy yet, but I'm going to go with Mika Purella, if you remember him.
Mika Purella. The name does sound familiar, but I'm blanking on where he played.
He played for the Flyers.
Did he really? Mika? Refresh my memory here, Master. I can't remember him.
So he signed a 1-year deal with the Flyers in July of 2009, split the 2009-2010 season between the Flyers and the Phantoms. They were then the Adirondack Phantoms, but then he returned to Europe, signing a 3-year contract with Frölunda HC on July 29th of 2010. He also represented Finland in the 2011 World Championships and scored a goal in the final against Sweden as Finland took the gold medal that year. Let's see. He played, I don't think he still plays now. He's currently playing for career stats. Let's see what we got. I'm on his Wikipedia page. He most recently played for Karpat in Liga, which I guess is the Swedish league.
Mm.
But that's from 2019-2020. 51 games played with 45 points in 51 games. Not bad. But yeah, one season in the NHL/AHL, he had four points in 36 games with the Flyers, and then had 18 points in 35 games with the Phantoms. So had a nice cup of coffee in the NHL and the AHL, and then went back to Europe.
I've got one now.
All right, go for it.
Another former Flyer/Phantom, former captain of the Philadelphia/Adirondack Phantoms, Jared Ross. Remember that name, Mastro? Jared Ross?
Yep.
One of the Flyers players, the first born NHL, born and trained player from the state of Alabama to play in the National Hockey League. Jared Ross played for the Alabama Huntsville Chargers of the CHA from 2001 to 2005 before turning pro with the Chicago Wolves. Spent about two seasons there before he signed with the Flyers and the Phantoms. And he played a grand total of 13 NHL regular season games for the Philadelphia Flyers, scoring 0 goals, 0 assists, and 0 points. But he was really a career minor leaguer in the American Hockey League. In 394 games played, he had 100 goals, 198 assists for 298 points, along with 217 penalty minutes. His best year with the Flyers organization was in 2008-2009, where in 64 games played, he had 69 nice points in the American Hockey League for the Philadelphia Phantoms, their last season in Philadelphia at the Spectrum. He did get some playing time with the Flyers in the playoffs. He actually scored his first NHL goal as a playoff goal, so it technically doesn't count as an NHL regular season goal, but he beat Marc-Andre Fleury in game 3 of the Flyers' 6-3 winning game 3 in 09 in the Eastern Conference Final against the Penguins and Marc-Andre Fleury.
Gotcha.
But yeah, other than that, after he finished his time with the Flyers, he signed with the Atlanta Thrashers, and then he played there for 1 year playing for the Chicago Wolves, and then he went over and played over in the German League with the ERC Ingolstadt.
Not going to take points off our broadcast for not being able to pronounce these.
They're known as the Panthers.
All right. Are they the same league as the Berlin team that Giroux played on?
Yes, they're the DEL.
Gotcha.
The S-Baron Berlin, Berlin Ice Bears. Yes, they're in that same league. He played for the Panthers over the DEL from 2011 to 2016. So, my random player of the week, former Philadelphia Phantom great Jared Ross.
Hell yeah. But yeah, I mean, with that, that's all I got for this week. The Flyers are the Flyers, and we've got the Phillies, we've got the Sixers. That's really all I can say at this point.
Yeah, Phillies, ring that bell. Yeah. Ring that bell, Phillies. I am ready for it. It is, I posted the Phillies idealist starting lineup yesterday, and I was like, it's dinger season. I want the Phillies to just be like that kid from the World Series, Little League World Series the other year, goes, my name's Nick, and I hit dingers.
Oh, no, that's Big Al.
Oh, that's Big Al?
Yeah.
I thought it was Nick.
Hi, I'm Big Al, and I hit dingers.
Yeah, that's Phillies, hit dingers. That's what I want.
Dude, there, I'm excited. Maybe we'll become a baseball podcast.
Maybe. Or we'll do a subsect. We'll do during the offseason, we'll become a Phillies podcast. But no, I'm excited. You know, that's what happens when you bring Nick Castellanos and Kyle Schwarber into town.
Yep, and they got Mickey Moniak in center field now.
He has a broken hand, apparently.
Harper, obviously defending an MVP season. Hoskins,
Bryson Stott made the team.
There's promise, but again, with any Philly sports team, there's cautious optimism.
Yes, precisely.
So, but we will enjoy opening day. Hopefully, we'll see each other at opening night on Saturday.
Yes.
And pop open a couple cold ones. I got to get some peanuts. That's always a main staple for me at the ballpark.
You got to get, when you're at the ballpark, you have to get some brews, some peanuts, and some hot dogs.
The Phillies also have Manco and Manco Pizza at the ballpark now.
Yeah, it's overrated.
Ooh. Hot take.
Just not a Jersey Shore guy. Outer Banks. Outer Banks, what up?
Humble brag. but, yeah, I mean, either way, it'll be good to have baseball back. It just means that summer is one step closer. Again, we'll end with a weather report where
it's supposed to be 80 degrees next Wednesday.
Yeah, winter is holding on by its fingertips at this point with today's weather. And just, we're obviously in spring, but we haven't had spring weather. But again, April showers bring May flowers.
I was just going to say that.
It's that time of year.
Yes. Well, with that, we will end this week's podcast. With the Flyers, just get this thing over with. We're all ready. But everyone, enjoy your hockey. Hopefully you're watching some other team besides the Flyers. So enjoy your hockey. And baseball's back. Sixers are playoffs. Frozen Four College. You have a plethora of other options to enjoy your sporting television time. So with that, we will see everyone else next week. Good night and good hockey.